Well, thank you for being with us today. If you're visiting with us, no, I'm not the regular preacher. I have been asked if I'm trying out. I think some are starting to think that some of us are in competition, but we're not. It was 1976. It's about this time of the year. More in September. But it was a very hot, balmy day. This young man, he went through high school. He gets out of high school, and that first summer he went straight into college. Vietnam was going. And they had a college deferment. As long as you was in college, they didn't pull you up for the draft. It wasn't that he didn't want to go to Vietnam. He just didn't want to be shot at. So he went into college. He did his years in college, year round. Never took a summer break. He makes it through. He takes his national board exams. He goes to Austin. He takes 3 days of testing all day long. And he passes all of his boards in Texas. And then he gets his license finally. He opens up an office. Did it the hard way. Didn't go in with somebody or a group. Started day one with zero patients. Hadn't been in practice very long. And the young receptionist he had comes to the door, knocking very fiercely, and opens and says, "You have to come out here. There's an emergency." The young doctor goes out, and there's a lady in the waiting room. And she says, "My husband needs help." So the young doctor says, "Where is he?" "Well, he's in the truck. He can't get out." So he goes out to the truck. He's not in the truck. So he turns, and she's standing at the door, and he says, "You know, where is he?" And she says, "He's in the back." He goes and looks in the back of the bed of the truck, and this man's laying in the back of the truck. She'd fixed a quilt or something he was laying on, and he was just laying back there. Couldn't get up, couldn't move. Comes to find out later that she had got a neighbor, and they put him on this big quilt and drug him out. She'd backed the truck up to the front porch and just drug him into the bed of the truck. Lived out at Winnie, drove all the way into Winnie. What in the world is he going to do with a patient laying in the bed of a truck? He'd been through all this college education, 2 years of internship, seen a lot of people already. But there was no training for something like this. He kicks into high gear, gets in the back of the truck, starts working with the person. It's on a busy street. So it didn't take long for 3 or 4 cars to pull over and people wonder what is going on here. Finally figures out what's probably happening. Was able to get the man to get up, sit up, walk in. And thank goodness, later, was able to walk out on his own free will. That was when the light bulb came on for that young man. He realized with all that education, all that knowledge that he had, he didn't have any wisdom. He didn't have any practical aspects. Somewhere he'd miss that. Because they don't teach that in college. We're going to talk about some wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life with rare objectivity and handle it with rare stability. It is faith that is fleshed out into real time. Open your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to go through the chapter, and you're going to think, "Oh, no." But no, it's not going to be that long, I hope. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is loaded down. Of course, Solomon is the writer here. Some of this are for us older, but most of this is for our younger people. Teenagers, I'd highly recommend that in the back of your Bible someplace that you actually write down on the back of it, say, wisdom. And then out from that, put Ecclesiastes chapter 7. For a reference for later in life when you start realizing, when you have that light bulb moment, you know, that wow moment, that you'll look back at that and read chapter 7 again and again. Solomon has a lot of things in there. Wisdom and folly, he went through this chapter and contrasted it back and forth. So this maybe would have been better in a classroom situation versus as a sermon. But I thought there's a lot of thoughts here that Solomon has for us. If I say verse 1, 2, or 3, I'm talking about Ecclesiastes. I will meander around some other verses at times, and I'll say what book and chapter we're in at that point. A good name is better than a good ointment. In other words, a good reputation is much to be preferred over expensive cologne or perfume. While not downgrading the latter, he is upholding the superiority of the former. A good name or reputation carries with it the aroma or the feel of honesty, trust, integrity, influence, and of course, character. One renders it, a good reputation is more valuable than the most expensive perfume. Now, people who are older in our audience really understand that. Young people, you're going to eventually understand that fully. We understand the principle of name reputation when it comes to products and services we buy. For example, we don't choose a restaurant because we drive by and it smells good, but because of the reputation it has. We purchase all kind of name brand products. If you're in the grocery store and you walk by and you're going to get some type of spaghetti sauce, and you're looking, here's some strange name spaghetti sauce. Oh, it's 75 cents cheaper. But you look over here, you know this one. You're probably going to buy the one that's more expensive and the one you recognize. That's just normal human nature to do that. You know, for years, there's a car company out there that kind of used the slogan, the quality goes in before the name goes on. You know, when we travel, and you need to get gas, or you're going to eat, what do you do? If you're out in the boonies, you start looking at road signs. 10 miles, such and such. 5 miles, such and such. You tend to go to a gas station you're familiar with, not some gas station you have never heard of. You tend to stop and eat things you're familiar with. Or, like us on our last trip, sometimes we thought, well, we know those. Let's try something different. And you drive up, and it's just another chicken place. You know, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how they cook fried chicken and make it all taste a little different. But it's there. It's out there. People have reputations, too. Many a time I walk out the door as a teen growing up, with the admonition, you better drive safe. Better not get a ticket. This is my mom. My dad never said a thing. Remember who you are. You're a Zaruba. Now, parents, I know you didn't tell them, remember who you are, Zaruba, but I bet there's a lot of parents in here that's done their children the same way. Why do we do that? As a parent, you've worked hard to have a decent reputation. And you don't want your child to ruin it by doing something foolish. It takes years to build a good reputation, but it only takes a foolish moment to destroy it. Teens, whether you realize it or not, you're building your reputation right now. And if you don't believe it, you'll find out a bunch of years down the road when you go to a class reunion. Ask your parents about that. Go to a class reunion. It's been 25 years, so you think, oh, I'm going to finally go to one. Everybody wants to bring up the bad things you might have done. You know? You're building your reputation now. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1, dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. It doesn't take very much foolishness to undo all that wisdom and honor. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. How in the world is that possible? It's possible because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The joyful days following our death are better than the stressful days of our birth. And you think, what's the deal with that? Ask any mother. I bet most mothers in here who are older have told their children, you see these gray hair? You cause those. There is some stress there, okay? And this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for their deeds follow with them, in Revelation 14:13. Your godly name and reputation lives on and on. Give you an example. Oh, it's been a little while back. We was up at the old farm place. Somebody was having a birthday, and there's a gentleman, he's basically my age, that lives alone, and my son and daughter-in-law, they always make sure if there's a group that they have include him. He comes over and he eats. And him and I got talking, and of course, we grew up at the same time. And he was asking about some of the old family, and on his own, he said, man, that Uncle Mike of yours, boy, was he a drunk. Maybe I should have said alcoholic. Yeah, Uncle Mike, he was a hard worker. He would work hard, but he also drank very hard. He ended up dying of cirrhosis of the liver. This is years ago. He died way before his time because of that. He is still remembered all these years later, people that knew him, that he was a drunk. Not that he was a hard worker, but he was a drunk. Your life and your reputation matters, and it will carry on. Hebrews 11:4, we all know this one. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. We tend to do more soul searching at funerals than at festivals. Why? Because we sit there and think about that person's life or hear about their life, and we reflect on our own lives. Because that is the end of every man, and the living take it to heart. There are times we need to get serious and contemplate our earthly end. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. Ecclesiastes 7, 3 and 4 now. Now, it's time. You can have times when there's jokes, stories, one-liners. You know, they kind of have their place in time, but they don't last. If you're anything like me, I hear something, it's funny, I think about it, I say, man, I got to remember that. 3 hours later, I can't remember what was said. If I start trying to tell the joke again, guess what? I'm going to mess it up. We tend to forget jokes really quick. But we don't tend to forget funerals. And probably a lot of you, if you thought back, you could remember the last funeral you went to, who it was with, for, and some things that possibly were said. Death changes everything and gives us a needed perspective. You know, this past year and a half or so now, with all this COVID pandemic, I think probably a lot of people know someone who has died from the virus that we knew. Has it not given all of us a different perspective? I think it has. Back to Ecclesiastes 5-7. It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool, and this is futility. For oppression makes a wise man mad, and a bribe corrupts the heart. You know, wisdom comes to us in a lot of different ways. Sometimes wisdom sneaks in as you're just talking to someone and someone makes a comment and you think, oh, it just kind of slaps you in the face. I wish I knew that. Parents, grandparents who offer counsel of experience helps our young. Well, it may help others their same age. A teacher who takes an interest in our accomplishments. A coach who inspires and motivates. A physician. And I'll tell you right now, there's a coach in here that motivated two of my sons. Coach Warren. He's a motivator. He may not think he was, but he is. I'll just pass that on to you, Coach. A physician who tells what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. An elder or a preacher who admonishes us. Solomon tells us that we had better pull up a chair and listen. For as the crackling of thorn bushes under a pot. Can you build a fire with thorn bushes? Yeah, you can. But it doesn't last long. It's like using little sticks or straw. It just fires up real quick, burns, and it's gone. Sure, you can do that. However, it will be a very, very short fire. It won't last. We need to spend time with those who can do more than make us laugh. We need those who can give us wisdom that lasts. Young people, talk to your grandparents if they're still alive. And older Christians, talk to them. And I know I've said this to young people, and I say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk to them. I can guarantee you, you ask your grandparents, what was the first car that you ever drove? And you'll get the conversation going, and then it'll go from there. Or what was the first airplane like that you rode in? And of course, some of them may tell you, I never flew, never been in an airplane. But it gets the conversation going. Now, grandparents sitting in here are thinking, next time you, when your grandchildren ask you what kind of car you drove, you're going to think, oh, well, he remembers Zaruba saying that. But that's okay. Need to talk Listen to them. Okay? And they're not just old. There's a lot stored up in all those file cabinets in the back of the brain in there. A lot of knowledge. And that will help you down the road to put things together and to be wiser. Ask them about their lives as they were growing up. 7. Yet even the wise can become unwise. That's why we must ultimately place our trust and confidence in God. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. It's Solomon's way of saying that wisdom comes with age, years, and life experiences that have given older people, let's say more mature, a perspective that younger people do not have yet. It's that perspective that motivated Solomon to share the journal of his journey throughout Ecclesiastes as you read everything. Patience of spirit in 8 is better than haughtiness of spirit. One of God's greatest goals is to develop inner character in us, in his children. A humble and patient spirit in which we trust God to take care of matters. Listen to me, that takes care of matters outside of our control. A humble and patient spirit in which we trust God to take care of matters outside of our control. To develop humility instead of haughtiness. We must guard against a couple things. Verse 9, guard against anger. Do not be eager in your hearts to be angry. For anger resides in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Ephesians 4:26-27. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Guard against looking back over your shoulder. Verse 10. Do not say, why is it that the former days are better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. You know, nothing's more... I use the term demoralizing. That's always thinking about the good old days. You've been around somebody, and they always want to talk about the good old days. The good old days. You know, in the good old days, this and that. Some refuse to enjoy the now because they're homesick for the past. I remember when. Yes, I'm old enough, I can remember when. Are there things about the past to be preferred? Yeah, there's a few things. The pace of life was slower. You had time to enjoy things a little better. But are there things that we need to forget? Yes, but apparently some people forget all those. We forget that polio and smallpox was a major threat to our children. I wonder 60 years from now, our kids will be talking about the pandemic that we're having now. Probably so. They forget about the long, hot summer. It was exactly that. Because we didn't have air conditioning way back then. They forget about that. And the outdoor plumbing was, guess what? It was outdoors at the outhouse. Or if you want to get a drink, you go turn on the water hose and you drink out of the water hose. And remember, the old water hoses had a really bad taste too. And I'm saying that, and those of you who drank out of a water hose sparked that little memory in your head that you can still taste that water right now a bit. Does anyone want to return to those good old days? I really don't think so. Solomon's advice, live in the moment and rejoice at the opportunities of today. He changes gears a little bit and starts talking about some benefits of wisdom. 11 and 12. Wisdom along with an inheritance is good and an advantage to those who see the sun. For wisdom is protection, just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors. You know, wisdom protects us from human pitfalls. How many gain an inheritance and quickly blow it? You know, you're going along and all of a sudden you get this letter from some attorney's office telling you to contact them, and some aunt or uncle or cousin, somebody you just briefly remember, they left you a large sum of money. How long does it last? Usually not very long. Think of the athletes. We got all these athletes. Personally, I think they're way overpaid. They make these millions of dollars, and then you read about them later, and they're in the poorhouse, basically. They've blown all that money. And you think, how in the world do they do that? Money protects you financially, but only when it is joined with wisdom. 13:14, consider the work of God, for who is able to straighten what he has bent? In the day of prosperity, be happy, but in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not discover anything that will be after him. Consider the work of God, because God is in control. We need to always remember that. There are some things you cannot change. He is in control of both good days, in the days of prosperity, and the hard days, in the days of adversity. Rather than anguishing over the hard days, pray and seek his wisdom. Notice what I just said. Pray. Pray. The Lord will hear us. Pray and seek his wisdom in order to learn the lessons he wants you to see. And brethren, I'm going to say, never, never, ever blame God. Job 2 and 10. And I know y'all remember this. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Man will not discover anything that will be after him. Revealing our future would cause us to walk by what? By sight. And not by faith. The basis of wisdom is trust. Simple trusting. Faith that God will provide what we need. Let's read here. 15 through 18. Gives us some balance. I have seen everything during my lifetime of futility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be excessively righteous, and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp one thing, and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. Wisdom enables us to keep our balance even when we don't understand everything that happens. Are there things, or have there been things in your life that's happened and you just don't understand it? Some wisdom will help you keep your balance. We all have faced those times and moments. Do not be excessively righteous like the Pharisee, and don't be overwise. as in her own eyes. Extremism leads to ruin. Brethren, let's live godly. Draw closer to the Lord, yet don't lose touch with humanity and reality. Wisdom gives us some strength. 19 through 22. Wisdom strengthens a wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Take that in for a moment. Wisdom strengthens a wise man more than 10 rulers in a city. That's a lot of strength. That's powerful. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. We all sin and fall short. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. There's nothing stronger than wisdom. Verse 19. 20 in Romans 3:23 remind us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 21 and 22 remind us not to take heart everything we hear, compliments and criticisms. Wisdom says to let some things go in one ear and out the other. Since all of us have spoken what we did not really think through. How many times have we said something and by the time it comes out of your mouth, you go, wow, I shouldn't have said that. You know, that was dumb of me doing that. Think before we talk. Wisdom gives insight. Verse 23, I tested all this with wisdom, and I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. Solomon was wise enough to know he didn't know it all. 24 and 25, what has been is remote and exceedingly mysterious. Who can discover it? I directed my mind to know, to investigate, and to seek wisdom and an explanation, and to know the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. Notice, Solomon directed his mind to know, to investigate, to seek wisdom, and an explanation. All these things helped him to understand more about the evil of folly and the foolishness of madness. There are things out there that will always, always escape our understanding. 26:28. And I discovered more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. Behold, I have discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking but have not found. I have found one man among a thousand, but I have not found a woman among all these. Some of that can be a little confusion there, but Solomon, he's telling us the fulfillment of all his sexual pleasures from all the wives and concubines that he had, helped him only one way, to warn us against making the same mistake. And I'll just throw in here, those of us that's been married for a long time, or maybe even for just a few years, had probably already discovered what I've discovered a pretty good while back, that my wife is probably one of the wisest people around. And I think that's something that I think all husbands need to take note of. The wives know a whole lot more than what we realize. And we need to always remember that and honor that. Verse 29, behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Men are always seeking evil in some type of way. The fact that we get in trouble is not God's fault, but our own. That's what Psalm is telling us. It's not God's fault. It's our own. So the thought of this moment, have you gotten in trouble? Have you fallen? Do you need the Lord? Do you need to repent? Get your life straight again? Now's the time, as we sing.